Pastor Vaughn advised me to. He gave me a he gave me a piece of scripture and advised me to. Just and this was like a day and a half ago, read it. He said a few dozen times, and then just preach without notes. I said, okay. Now, a few is at least three is the minimum, right? So. You should try it sometime in the course of 24 hours or so. Take some passage and read it 36, 40, 50 times. It's interesting. It sinks deep. So I'm going to talk today about... I'm going to talk about us here, this local church. We are a local church. I thank God that we have an international vision, that our vision is huge in scope. There's literally no limits to it. The testimonies that we'll hear shortly, are going to blow our socks off. But the fact is that we have to walk this walk out here, now, tomorrow, this week, in the middle of the night, on your job, I got to tell you that just in worship before, I think I almost swooned or something there, but thank God, because I would have been trampled by these young guys that were hopping up and down all around me here. So thank you for preserving me, Lord. But I'll tell you what I had was... I guess it's the pastoral anointing that Vaughn was talking about before. I have such a love for this house, for you. This is not just of me. I don't know. Trust me, I'm just as self-centered as everybody else in this room. In my flesh, in my person, and left to my own devices. But I know that in the midst of creating something new, in building this vision of a new thing, not another hamburger joint, but a new move of God, both here and throughout the world. I know that it has to start here, and it has to be sustained here. This is the foundation. This is the place where the energy is built and the strength is restored. And testimonies are given, and faith is built. It all happens here, person to person. Here's the scripture. I have it in about 15 different translations here, so it's entirely possible that I'll read them all. So I'll just start with it. Excuse me. I'm kind of a wreck. I'll just read from the New King James first. All right, this is in Acts chapter 2. I'll just set it up. Is that Peter had just stepped into his role, that was ordained for him, and he had stepped up, and he had basically literally put his life on the line and spoken what was blasphemy to a whole crowd of people there, and they said, They were touched, they were moved, they were convicted, and they said, well, what should we do? And he said, be baptized. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Come into the kingdom. Turn, repent. Turn, face God. And then he continued. This is Acts 2, 40 to 47. He said, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. They eat their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's a local church. That's a local church that's founded on an apostolic vision. And that's what we are here. Do we all understand that this is a church plant? This is a new thing. We are not the vineyard with a changed name. That's the fact. We are a new thing. This hasn't been done before, at least not by us in this place. It's new territory, new ground. But we have a model, right? We have a model. We have a clue. We have an idea of where to look for guidance. So let's go through that again a little bit. Here's from the Amplified. Again, we have a whole crowd of people, literally 15 or 20 times as many as you are here. And Peter's there, and he's just told them something shocking. Shocking. You killed the Messiah. But he died for you. Come to him. Choose. So after they did, then he solemnly and earnestly witnessed and testified and admonished or exhorted with much continuous speaking, and he warned, reproved, advised, encouraged them, saying, be saved from this crooked, perverse, wicked, unjust generation. Is this a crooked, perverse, wicked, and unjust generation that we are in now? Is it? Of course it is. But you see, he didn't say, try to be saved. He didn't say, I have a suggestion for you that might improve your circumstances. He said, be saved. See, he had hope for them. He showed them hope in a concrete way. Be saved. And those who accepted and welcomed his message were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls. And they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper, and prayers. You see, they made a determination, as Pastor Josh says, right? They made a determination, a commitment in their souls, which is where you make a decision. Don't get all spiritual about that. You make your decisions in your soul. Thank you so much. That's so thoughtful. And they persevered. See, because I can make a decision to do something, and I can do it tomorrow, and I might do it again next week. But to steadfastly persevere is what it takes to earn you a witness. That's what it takes to earn you an audience. Over 5 years ago, I started going on Tuesday afternoons to this adult home that my parents lived in because my mother liked me to read the Bible to her. So I said, well, you know, maybe somebody else does too. So I started reading scripture to them for about 45 minutes every Tuesday afternoon. That was 5 years ago. I'm still doing it now. Both of my parents passed away a long time ago. And revival has come to this adult home up in Columbia County. These people pray for one another. They come from a variety of backgrounds. That's hardly the point, other than steadfastly persevered. Wonderful things have just, you know, we're going to hear some testimonies of wonderful moves of God, of the Spirit, of how people filled with the Spirit can take revival, can take the fire to another land and plant it there and have it go on fire. But We don't want to see our Christian life. The heck with those. If I talk religious talk, you can throw things at me because I don't mean that. I don't. It's not all pie in the sky. But the fact is, in order for this to mean something to us, to change our lives and those around us, then we can't have these big peaks. Oh, remember when we did this cool thing and it all happened there? And now let's just go back to our life. And maybe next year, you know, we'll do it again and we'll have this big peak, you know, and we'll do this. It's daily. It's every day. So it's, how awesome is that? That you guys are going to do a VBS around the corner. You know, next week they're gonna do the same thing here. You know, and that's just gonna, they're gonna take their faith that was built there, and they're gonna bring it here. You know, they went here, their faith was built to there, and now they're gonna bring it here. On one level or another, every one of us has to do that. Let's see. Verse 43, and a sense of awe, a reverential fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, the special messengers, the sent ones. And all who believed, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ were united, and together they had everything in common. See, this is their response. They had everything in common. And they sold their possessions, both their landed property and their movable goods, and they distributed the price among all, according as any had any need. This is a real response. This isn't a flash in the pan kind of a thing. This is the real deal. And they took action. Day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose. And in their homes, they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. They partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts, constantly praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all the people. And the Lord, who? The Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved from spiritual death. The harvest. If I was really coordinated, I'd be able to do all these things at once, but I'm not. Oh, I got it. Thank you so much. That's right. This is, maybe we should all do this every now. This is a humility builder. Okay. So here's what we sang before. That when we are, when we join in one song, it washes away the brokenness, right? One song. If there's any single message from this passage of Scripture, it's that they were united. They were united with one vision. One Suburban? No, that's... That's just really bad. It really wasn't that funny. All right, so I started by saying we need to walk it out here. We need to walk it out. So the pieces of unity, of walking in the local church, fellowship, and service. Fellowship, one with the other, here. I mean, how can we be singing one song if we're not facing one another, if we're not looking at those same words, if we're not harmonizing with one another? All right? We need fellowship, and we need to do it purposefully. Purposefully. Not haphazard by who you happen to sit by, you know, Sunday morning, but purposefully. I'm not suggesting either that we have little cliques, that these people meet with these people and, you know, whatever, and that you, because, you know, it dries up. You know, you always need a fresh anointing to come in. Nevertheless, fellowship. So why don't I just, because I don't want to go over here because I want to hear these testimonies. The way that we can walk out fellowship in a intentional way, of course, is through life groups. Groups of you know, I was going to say like-minded people, but, you know, we all have the mind of Christ. So we are all like-minded. So groups of people who share an interest or a location or a vocation or whatever, any reason or excuse we can think of to fit in grouping together and meeting together in the world that we live so that it's not a Sunday to Sunday or even Friday to Saturday to Sunday to Tuesday to Friday. You know, that's just not enough. We need more filling. And don't we also need something a little more personal than that? You know, it's true that when we come before God open and with we just surrendering all, as we let it all go, we just laid it at his feet. That's freeing. That's our burdens are gone. But we need to be a little more personal one with another. We need to share some, you know, our difficulties. Now, here's the danger here, and we all know it. To worship means to pay attention to. What we worship is what we pay attention to. So, sure, we can all get together in our little groups, and we can have pity parties, because that's what we do in the world, right? We sit around the water cooler or whatever. We do have a water cooler, but nobody stands around it because we don't have time. But and we have our little pity parties where we all sit. And you know what? You deserve so much more than that. You know, and how dare they? Do you know who I am? All these kind of things. It's, you know. So I'm not talking about worshiping our problems. But I am talking about intentionally putting ourselves in groups of people regularly, steadfastly persevering to group together in such a way that we can share those problems and then together let our corporate anointing and the individual gifts of the people in that group to show the fact that Jesus Christ is bigger than all those problems, and I don't care what the heck they are. You know, he's more. He's not surprised by the fact that, you know, your plans didn't work out or that someone disappointed you. What a surprise that people would disappoint us, eh? Thank God that he is faithful and that he does not disappoint us. So, there is, all right, so nuts and bolts. There is downstairs somewhere, there has been for a week or two now, there's a sign-up sheet for those of you who would like to host or lead home groups. You know, because somebody has to step up to the plate, so to speak, and say, okay, yeah, I'll be a little tiny lightning rod. You know, I'll be a place, you know, a focus where, you know, where the crystal can grow around me, you know, a seed crystal. So some of you need to just say, yeah, you know, I'll sacrifice whatever day of the week or, you know, like many things, we think we're sacrificing when we go in and we end up getting our socks blessed off. You know, we think we're giving, but we're really getting. This is God's economy. So, sign up. Come and talk to me or my wife, Susan. All right? Come and talk to us. Let us know of your... And let me just say that if you think you can't do it, well... See, the thing is that's not what God says. So if you're disagreeing with God, guess who's wrong? All right? Because my book says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And many other things, you know, not to even get that generic about it, but there are so many ways that you are specifically empowered to be a minister of this reconciliation. So, that's enough on that. Oh no, I wanted to tell you that that we're gonna have, you know, it won't be some big curriculum course or anything, but we will be having some for lack of a better word, I'll say training sessions, you know, beforehand. So for those of you who are willing to lead and host and be blessed in that way, then we'll make sure that you're equipped, you know, to the extent that we can prepare and provide some structure and some support and some lines of communication so that you know that you're never out there alone, you know, in any circumstance. So that'll be there too. So service. The reason I said life groups first is because one of the main purposes of our life group is not to get around in a pity party. And frankly, it doesn't even end with sharing our life circumstances and being blessed by our brothers and sisters to come to us and minister the love and the power of the resurrected Christ in us so that we can overcome that. That's not even the end of it. Because we all know that it's the purpose is not to receive, it's to give. It doesn't end there. Yes, every one of us is meant to be touched and restored, but for a purpose, so that we can go out and find those, because look around. We're not full. And even if we were in Dietz Stadium, that's not full. This town, this county, this region is full of needs. It's full of hurting people who don't have that hope. See, they haven't heard, or more so, in America, everyone has heard the gospel. I know that's a generalization, and it's probably not true. But in one sense or another, it's out there so much, that it's almost, it kind of grates on people to a certain degree. If they don't have an ear to hear, it'll grate on them because, oh, yeah, that stuff again, you know, whatever. What have they, you know, and of course, because in the flesh we all have a self-centered thing, it's well, what have they done for me? Or it's, oh, they say that, but they do that. We need to develop an enticing aroma. We need to be attractive. And you know what? To us, meeting here, I mean, tell me that wasn't, to any of us this morning, this scene this morning of just standing before God and giving it all and just, you know, receiving his love and giving back worship, that's attractive. That's why we're here. But I'm just telling you that we have to meet everyone, including those of us here, but we have to meet everyone where they are, spiritually, emotionally, and in many cases, physically. We have to meet them where they are. So that's just not enough. Having, over the internet, having this scene of 100 people really having a marvelous time before the Lord is not going to draw in people. It's not going to draw in the neighbor over here or over here. I mean, perhaps it will. But generally speaking, I think not. But I'll tell you something. Go mow his lawn. When he's out there shoveling next winter, you don't have to say anything. Just walk over there with a shovel and go to work. And when you're done, first of all, you've made both yourself and the church of God and this house all more attractive simply by showing that there's something different about you. Everything doesn't have a price tag. And perhaps you will have earned yourself an audience enough to get somebody one step closer to being in a position to be able to experience the same glory. We have a lot of opportunities for service. We are a local church that has a heart to spread the fire of God throughout this community. That is who we are. Now, see, that's one thing that hasn't changed. You know, this is a church plant, but many of you are the same people, and I know your hearts because I've known you for years. And I know that we all, each one of us, is created in the image of God. Our God is a generous God beyond our ability to understand. So every one of you has a generous heart, or generous spirit at any rate. And I know that you want to serve. So what's really lacking, see, I can be taught. What's really lacking is opportunities. So our main focus right now is job creation. And I'm not talking about, we're not creating 1.7 million jobs by giving away somebody else's money. I'm talking about literally opening our eyes and our spirits to the opportunities around us and saying, how can I serve? This is a concrete question. It really is as simple as mowing a lawn or raking a raking leaves or whatever, and by the way, just in case you think that I'm just using that as some kind of a simple example, I'm not. Go and mow the neighbor's lawns and rake their leaves and shovel their snow. Really? But we already have many opportunities now, and we're building more every day. And I thank God for the insight that he's given some of you, that even now he's placing in you a seed of an idea for how you can touch the people you know. See, because we amongst us all, this is a wide spectrum, and we reach out and touch a lot of different people, a lot of different circles. So, but even now, there are opportunities, and Beth is going to post a list of specific ministry opening opportunities, and some of you just need to step up and say, yeah, I have no idea how to do that, but I'll do it anyway. And also, besides ministry opportunities, we have ongoing ministries now that are developing more and more. The food pantry, Rachel is graciously stepped into the void to make something new and better of this, because it's not really about how to get the food. It's like, well, who can we give it to? How do we get more people here that we can bless with God's generosity? How can we find people in need elsewhere and get it to them? We have a marvelous arrangement, garments of praise. Again, Rachel's thing with where we give away clothes, great clothes. They still have the tags on them, most of these clothes. I mean, this is great stuff. People need this stuff. People need it, but we have to reach out to there. In some cases, people are going to come here and we're going to bless them, but in many cases, we got to go there. All right, so. Probably next month, or as soon as we can reasonably put something together, we'll be doing another community outreach where we will go, we will set up, we will have music, we will have nonstop testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will go door to door and pray for people. We will ask, how can we bless you, brother? How can we pray for you? Here, we'll do that. And we'll meet their physical needs. We'll give them clothes and food and whatever else we can do. We can mow some lawns while you're at it. We can do any of this. A bus ministry is coming. We're putting together a bus ministry to go into the community and touch them, touch each people where they are so we can bring them in here. Street evangelism. Simple stuff. That's enough. Father God, I just thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here. Lord, I ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we would see with your eyes the needs around us, and we would also see with your eyes and come to understand with your mind that is in us. The way that you've anointed every single one here to step into some function of serving this community with the purpose of blessing them and saving them and spreading the glory of God. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would convict those here that have heard your word, have placed that idea in their heart and their mind. Give them insight to develop it, Lord. Give them strength to simply say, yes, I don't know how, but I will. because God loves obedience more than sacrifice. And I thank you for everyone here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nice job, man. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I did. Praise God. Really appreciate Gary and Susan. Been a tremendous blessing to us. I'm not going to take any more time. We have one more blessing. So I'm going to introduce Chris and Carrie Politeo, who led the team to Jamaica. They're going to come out. We thank God for these couple. Something beautiful. The only thing I want to say is something Carrie said last night. She said, I would love to have something to compare this mission trip with, but I've never been on one before. So they were newbies on this. So it was a wonderful experience that these young couple were able to lead such a powerful team. And I'm getting out of the way. Chris. Thanks.
Thank you. So our mission to Jamaica was to take our team of 19 people, which is a task in itself, to Runaway Bay to do a vacation Bible school for a week for 3 hours every day. And then we evangelized every day in the afternoon at some point, going into different communities, poverty, and we'll have a lot of people talk more about that. Then the evening services, we did an evening service every day at 7:30, and that went between, from 9:30 to 11, depending on the day. We were given complete liberty by the pastors there to do whatever we wanted. We were never asked what we were going to speak about, how long we were going to go for. We were just given complete freedom there. But what I want to testify about is just the change in the people there from when we first did the service Sunday morning to our last service on Thursday night. Sunday morning, Alice and Sarah leading worship, and everyone just kind of like, maybe a few with their hands raised and stuff, and we're all at the front like we do up here. We're all jumping around, going wild. And I look back, and everyone's just kind of being very religious. And we're praying for people at the end. We did altar calls, and no one was receiving the Holy Spirit and the power. Come Thursday night, it's a complete 180. Everyone is in complete unity. Hands raised, jumping around. We're doing I Am Free, Rain Down. Like, they know these, but they're actually giving their praise to God. And we minister to people at the end. Everyone's hitting the deck pretty much. Everyone's opened up a lot. And so just goes to show that the power that's here doesn't just stay in this building. It can be used anywhere. So let my wife give her testimony.
I actually wanted to testify about something that happened the last day of VBS, and it so touched me because I didn't realize I did realize the effect we were having on the kids, but it was just so powerful by Friday or Thursday afternoon, because Friday we only had an hour and a lot of it was just games and giving away prizes. But Thursday was the day that we wanted to concentrate most on tongues with the children. And Brian had an awesome message about tongues, and he actually used a visual with an empty cup of water and a pitcher. But I'll let him share about that if he chooses to do so. But I wanted to share about this little kid, Chad. I actually had to kneel down to be on his level, and I was praying for him. And I just wanted to bring tongues down to a level where he would understand what was happening. So I began telling him, don't use your head. You got to know that there's something right here, and it has to come up and through your mouth. And I said, it wasn't here to hear. It was from here. And I said, okay, just open your mouth, start making some noise, and move your lips, because I'm going to be doing it with you. And he immediately started just kind of wavering a little bit, and he started speaking. And I couldn't hear him necessarily, but I had my hand on the back of his neck. And as I was praying for him, he just kept giving more noise. I could hear him a little bit more. And he just started speaking in tongues. And it was so powerful at that moment. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is actually happening. You know, this is something that God is using me to do. And when we were all done, I go, Chad, what did you feel? And he looked at me, and it was like eye to eye, because I was kneeling down. And he was like, fire. And I was like, whoa. And I just wanted to say, for a little kid to actually use that word, and I had spoken on Sunday morning about fire, but this is something that he did by himself. He said fire by himself. I don't believe I ever said, you know, fire when I was praying over for him, but it was just awesome experience, and I will forever remember him looking up at me and saying fire. But at this point, I want to call up a few people. They're going to give 30-second to a minute testimony. And then don't forget, tonight there's going to be more testifying as to what's happening, as well as we only were able to update through Wednesday, because everything from Wednesday on was such a whirlwind of stuff happening at services and at VBS that there's going to be updates put on today. We're going to be putting up more pictures. I want to make sure that every single team member at least has a paragraph on that blog spot from themselves. So they're going to be writing those out throughout the week and giving them to me. But I wanted to call Sarah up, Linda up, Brian, and is Cassidy in here? Cassidy, come on up.
Praise God. Going on this trip, I knew that I would be, Alice and I had to do worship every night for the church, and whatever had to be used. And, you know, I had been asking God just, you know, how that I can be used more and more for the worship to help to get everybody with the team. And, you know, I'm not one to preach, so I was quite satisfied to not really speak in front of people that much as far as, you know, preaching the word, but I gave a testimony. And Alice actually lost her voice yelling at the kids all week. And so so I was like, oh, that means I had to lead the whole thing. And, you know, I was really nervous and never done it before. And, you know, God just really showed up, and there was this times that I was playing on the keyboards, and there's sweat dripping everywhere, and it was just so, like, oh, so hot, and there were songs that God was calling back to my spirit that I had never played before with that music, and that I was like, I haven't played this song in years. I don't even know where this is coming from, but, you know, I hadn't had a chance to minister, and the last night of the night service, we were all outside in the parking lot praying together as we always did in the hotel, you know. And so we're just, you know, stirring up the spirit, and God's like, start laying hands on people for a quick anointing. And I was like, I'm not doing that, because I hesitated for like 5 minutes. And so I was like, all right. So I went to the E2R, and I laid my hands on Cassidy, and she went down. I laid my hands on everybody, and everybody's down. And I was like, oh, you know, God, there has to be a quick anointing. This has to happen tonight, Lord. I'm believing that you, that this is going to happen tonight. So we get up there, and we do worship. The first couple of songs, we're just like, oh, whatever. And then, you know, something happened, and we started to hit that glory realm, and a song that triggered it, and we just hit it, and we just hit it. And I said to Alice, and I said to Carrie, and the drum, just keep going. I had this Madonna mic thing that I had to wear, and I had to... And I took it off, and I threw it down, and I got up behind the keyboards, and I was like, I have to lay my hands on these people. Started putting my hands on people just the way, you know, everything that Steve and Pastor Vaughn have been teaching us, I remembered about, you know, just laying your hands on them and just believing and putting the anointing into those people. And they started hitting the deck, and I was like, God, I wish I had some help. Open my eyes, and everybody's down. Because I had, you know, given that impartation of the quick anointing to everybody on the team. And so they started just laying hands on people and just blowing everybody down. And so I get back on the keyboard and let everybody else keep ministering. And God really showed up, and God, you know, used us to be able to do that. And I was just so thankful that, you know, that was something out of my comfort zone. So praise God.
Praise God. Bible says give honor where honor is due. I just want to thank you, Chris and Carrie. You guys were awesome leaders. They set the pace for the whole trip. They were so positive. And just the amount of time and sacrifice they put in before the trip and during the trip, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. They're awesome. Give them a hand. You know, we'll sit and watch TV for hours sometimes as Americans, you know, and we'll spend 4 minutes of our life on commercials, over 4 minutes, and it's wasted time. And I promise you, the next few minutes will not be a waste because it might even change your life, because people's lives were changed down there in Jamaica. You see, why do we give testimonies? We give Jesus glory, and testimonies actually produce a prophetic atmosphere for it to happen again, because in Hebrew, the word for testimony means to happen again. So I'm gonna say some testimonies about healings down there, and I believe that's going to release an atmosphere for it to happen again here this morning. And so Tuesday, we're out in the community evangelizing, telling people about Jesus, and there was a man named Sammy on crutches, and he had pain in his foot. And so I prayed the first time. I said, how do you feel? He goes, it feels a little better. I said, well, let's pray again. I prayed the second time. I said, how does your foot feel? He said, I felt the cramp just leave like that. He said, the pain is gone. He goes, I couldn't put weight on it before. And he's putting his weight on it. He's like, wow, it feels good. He goes, my whole leg feels much lighter. He's moving his knee like this. He's like, I couldn't do this before. He's just moving his knee like that. And so then, with that testimony in my heart, we go into the service that night, Tuesday night. Ashley Ortman preached an awesome message and gave a call for healing. And so one of the Jamaican guys comes forward, named Travis, and she prays for his left arm. He had pain in his arm, the pain left. And then she went on to pray for the next person, and the guy Travis says to me, you know, my right foot has been in pain. So I pray for his foot, and the pain, boom, like that is gone. He's pushing on it. He starts to laugh because he can't believe that the pain left. He's like, man, it feels good. I can't believe it's better, you know? So that was another one. So I go back Tuesday night after the service to our hotel, and I'm telling two of the staff members about the healings that are happening. And the guy's name is Cecil, and he's sitting down, you know, and he's just like, man, my foot's been in pain for the last few months. Can you pray for me? And so I was like, sure. So I just got down and just, you know, Jesus washed their feet. So I just got down right there, put my hands on his foot, and in Jesus' name prayed for him. I said, go ahead and try out your new foot now, you know, check it out. So he stands up, and he's pushing on it. And he starts to laugh, too, because he's like, it's good, it's better, it feels good. And praise God. Jesus is better than the foot doctor. And so that guy Cecil gets born again after he meets Jesus, the healer. He meets Jesus, the savior. He gets born again. His co-worker stand. Praise God. His co-worker is standing there, and I pray for him. And I said, you feel that Holy Spirit, man? You feel that power? And he said, yes. So what do you feel? He goes, I feel so free in here. Right in here, I feel so free. And so he gets born again. And so they meet Jesus, the healer, and they receive him as savior. And see, you know, we give testimonies, and we begin to clap and worship. And so we must testify, because if we don't, we're actually withholding praise from him. Amen. So when we testify, it gives him glory and praise. And so one more testimony of healing, or maybe two more if I get away with it. One more. I guess they're both powerful, but this one seemed even more impacting to me. Sunday night, our bus driver comes forward for the altar call and gets born again, which is awesome in itself. And so we find out Monday that his daughter's 4 years old. She's in the hospital. I think maybe she has appendicitis because she had fever and pain in her abdomen. So we start praying. We start praying for that little girl. By Tuesday, we find out that the pain is gone and there's no fever. And so Wednesday morning, they got a stuffed cat. You know how in the book of Acts, Paul laid his hands on handkerchiefs and aprons. Every person who touched the handkerchief or the apron was healed, and demons left their body. Why? Because the tangible anointing of heaven, the very presence of the Holy Spirit, was on the handkerchief and on the apron, so it was able to be transferred from that apron, from the handkerchief, to the person. And so it'll work with a stuffed cat, too. So we so we release the tangible anointing on that cat. He brings the little stuffed cat to his door Wednesday morning. We find out Wednesday night that she's been released in the hospital. She's totally better. Praise God. Jesus! So, last thing I'm going to say, his girlfriend comes Thursday night, and she gets born again in the service. So it's just awesome, all over the place, people getting saved, healed. Praise God.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff was awesome. And Brian, he didn't stop the whole trip. He could tell you a lot more. As soon as we stepped off the plane, he was talking to people. So that was pretty awesome. But while we were there, I thought it was really awesome, because when we got there, there was a lot of, like, youth in the church, and you could tell when we first got there how hungry they were for God and how much they wanted everything that we had for them, and so it made it so much easier for us to just impart into them. And I remember one night, we had just been praying for these guys and praying for these guys. And of course, they're like 4 or 5 years older than us. But we had me, Jeremy, Mariah, Ashley, and then everybody else was praying for them too. But and one of the guys, Frankie, I remember one night I was standing in the back and I was watching because the whole entire time we were there, we were just laying hands on everybody at the end of church services. And I really wanted them to start doing that. I wanted the guys from the church to just be able to have that boldness to get up and start praying for people so that when we left, we would know that they would be able to carry on the revival fire. And I was standing in back of the church, and I just looked up, and I saw Frankie, and he had a guy down on the ground, and he was just praying for him and releasing that quick anointing into him. And I turned to Chris, and I turned to Carrie, and I was like, it's Frankie! Look at it, it's Frankie! Look what he's doing! And I was so proud of him. And it's weird, because he's, what, was he 19? 22? And I'm 14. But I was so proud of him because I knew that it was the youth from our church who had put that anointing into him and who had encouraged him and let him know that he could do that, that he could do exactly what we were doing here and just keep the revival spirit going once we left. So.
Praise the Lord, Mon. Jamaica was a great opportunity. It was a great outreach that we had. And again, I just want to thank Chris and Carrie too. Personally, I've been on a lot of mission trips and I've led mission trips, but I was just telling Pastor Vaughn last night, I've never gone on a trip where your team is united in spirit. When Pastor Vaughn sent us out, he was like, don't come under the authority of that nation. Don't come under the authority of that country, but come under the authority of God and on the anointing that God has placed on your team. And that's what our team did. You know, we came under the authority that we left here with, under God. And when the first night, I mean, we didn't change anything that we did. We just went out and we ministered and we did what we were taught to do. And the breakthroughs that came were just incredible. You know, it's great to go out as a team and to serve, but it's so much more encouraging to go out and preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. And do the healings that Jesus has taught us to do, to pray and see people healed and their lives, you know, redeemed and people getting saved left and right. There's nothing more encouraging than that. And that, for me, was a big confidence builder because Christ dwells within us and Christ has empowered us not only to do the servant stuff, to serve and, you know, and give people physical needs, but to give them the everlasting, eternal life. It was just awesome, and it's just a hunger that builds within you, you know, to be in God's presence every day, to get refilled up every day, you know, and to go out in power and the anointing of Christ. I don't want to stop, you know, I don't want to stop.
Nice. We have time for one more, so we'll have Alice share.
Hey, I was just so proud of the team, of the young people on our team. They stepped up with such a boldness. A couple times I turned to Sarah, I'm like, who is that person? You know, Chris stepped out in such authority, Ashley, everybody, Cassidy. And I'm really proud of you guys that you did that. By the power of God. It wasn't them. It was God's power. But we saw so much. You'll hear so much about the week. But what we really kept trying to get through to the people was, it's not us. When we leave, you're here. Runaway Bay is your home. Runaway Bay is your people. That's your world. And when we leave, you have to take this power. You have to own this power and keep on going with it. And they really began to understand that because by the last night, you know, we sang, "This is my desire." They joined in with such a force. Talk about the one song, Healing the Brokenness. We stopped. We didn't even have to sing. I lost my voice completely for 2 weeks. 2 days I was like this. And I was really battling with having to praise the Lord with no voice. It was such a struggle for me because I had to learn, you know, praise Him with my body, praise Him with my instrument. I've never had to do that before. But we didn't even have to, you know, overexert that song. The people took it off. They took off with it. They joined in one voice and you could just see and feel the power building and the encouragement of the Lord coming in that place. And there was one girl in particular that sticks out in my mind. Her name was Serene. She came to the service because Stacy Smith invited her out on the street one day. Stacy didn't even remember inviting her. and she came to the service. We prayed with her. A couple of us prayed with her. Stacy led her to the Lord. She was a very broken young girl. She was wearing, you know, very provocative clothing. You could tell that she was really under some demonic oppressions. And she began, over that week, began to open up, and you saw her countenance change. And she actually went to the beach with our team one day, and we just began to just talk with her and communicate with her and find out about her life. And we physically saw her change before our very eyes. You know, and she just began to open up like that flower, like Steve talks about. The hardest thing I saw was their ability to open up, because they have so much to give. If you put on music, you'll see a Jamaican open up. They are a very active, very vibrant culture. They love to dance and sing. They love color. Their island is beautiful, full of color and vibrance. But when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit, they're very like gun shy and scared, and religion is just binding their minds. And just to teach them that ability, just open up like a little flower. I don't know how many times I said it. I said it to big guys bigger than me. Open up like a little flower, you know? And it really began to work. And you just saw them begin to just open up like a little flower. But there's just so many powerful things that happen. And we really blessed the people. They blessed us just as much. They really did. They really, really did. We thank you for your prayers and your support. I don't know who this is going to now.